tonight, you can call us at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here this evening with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And we're going to touch on a couple other things yet tonight as well. But we'll start off with a word of prayer here this evening. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity we have to be able to come on the air tonight. We just pray that you would bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ through the things that we talk about tonight. Help us to encourage believers in their walk with you. And also, Lord, we also pray that something that we talk about tonight, something we say tonight, that there's somebody that's searching, that you might use it to help point them to Christ. And we just thank you again for all that you've done for us, the opportunities you give us. And just bless, we pray, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, I'm Pastor Al Davis. I'm the pastor of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. And we certainly invite you to come out and visit us there if you're in the area. And if you don't have a church home and you're looking for a place that preaches the Word of God, let me invite you to come out and give us a visit at the Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And I tell people that if you're looking for a building with a steeple, you won't find us. We meet in a commercial space there in at Richfield at a little commercial strip plaza at the corner of Brecksville Road and Wheatley Road, right near where 77 and 271 come together. You can find us there at 4174 Wheatley Road. That's 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200, and you can find us there every Sunday. We have a Sunday morning service at 11 o'clock where I am currently preaching through the Gospel of John on Sunday mornings, and we're in John chapter 6 right now, and then on Sunday evenings, we meet there again at 6 o'clock in the evening, and I'm currently preaching through the book of Proverbs on Sunday evening. I'm currently in Proverbs chapter 25. So we've been in Proverbs for a while. Prior to that, I preached through the book of Psalms on Sunday evenings, that took a while. We did, on average, one psalm each week, with the exception of the 119th psalm, which has a few stanzas, shall we say, to it, and I did each stanza there individually. But what a blessing going through the Word of God together. So if you're looking for a church that preaches the Bible, we use King James Bible, and we do that for a reason. Actually, we do that for a variety of reasons, and we touch on those every once in a while here on the radio, and so we're glad to share with you if you have questions why we use the King James versus the other English versions. But in the meanwhile, just to let me remind you, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can find out more about us. You can also find out about our church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And you can also read a variety of articles and things that I have there. Also want to mention that every Friday, we have a Bible study every Friday night, 7 to 9. It's informal. People bring questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We talk about them, and that's every Friday night from 7 to 9, and it's an informal setting. We have refreshments, and so we've got some tables set up where you can put your Bible down, put your refreshments down. You can take notes, whatever you'd like to do, and it's not a lecture where people come in, where I come in and say, oh, tonight's topic is, no, we come in and say, anybody got any questions? And that's where we go from. Sometimes there's something going on that I need to address, and we talk about that a little bit, but then we move from that into people's questions, and we just deal with what questions people have about the Bible, current events in the light of God's Word. Of course, that was the genesis of our radio program as well. And again, thank you everybody praying for us. Last week we celebrated 17 years on the radio, and so a year from now, Lord willing, we'll be celebrating 18. But in the meanwhile, we're glad to have you with us tonight. Check us out online, as I said, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And I hope you'll stick with us tonight. Again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have got a report coming in from John Brown tonight on an event yesterday in Cleveland. And John Brown, are you with us here?
Yes, Pastor. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Good evening. And yes, you've got, I understand, a report on the event in Cleveland, Christians out to standing for the Lord in front of the Drag Queen Story Hour venue.
Yes, we were outside of Near West Theater yesterday. The attendance was down a little bit on their side. We had a couple of our guys who, for various reasons, couldn't make it yesterday, but the attendance was down on their side also, mainly probably because Akron's Pride Festival, the parade, was about the same time as the show in Near West, so maybe that's where some of the degenerates went. But we had a good event. The Cleveland police again, just like last time, did a commendable job. They were there and present. They didn't interfere. They kept the people from getting in our faces. They made sure that they stayed on their side. Of course, we didn't have to be told to stay on our side because we don't get in people's faces. We show up, we stay on our side of the road, hold our signs, say the stuff over the megaphone, and leave. You know, we don't. Mm-hmm. We're not rioters. We don't start fights or anything. So, I would ask maybe if any of our, especially any of your listeners who live in the city of Cleveland and actually are Cleveland taxpayers, maybe send the Cleveland police chief an email thanking him again for having his officers present and for respecting our First Amendment rights, because there are many Cleveland police departments around the country that haven't. Some
yes.
of our brethren in this battle have been arrested unlawfully by criminals claiming to be police, to be blunt. Obviously, they really were sworn police officers, but you know, I'm of the belief that if you act contrary to the Constitution, you're acting outside of that authority. But I don't really want to go down that road too much. But so passively, if you're listening and you live in the city of Cleveland, maybe send the Cleveland police chief or the Cleveland mayor an email thanking him for protecting God's people and for maintaining a neutral protection, you know, policy that does not interfere with anyone's right of free speech. You know, obviously we would like to see the people running the event arrested, but I think the best we can hope for is just at least they respect our rights and protect us while we bear witness to the truth. And for that, I think they're worthy of, you know, some commendation. And the more we show appreciation for that, maybe it'll go a little bit further, you know. Maybe they'll be more likely to continue doing it. Because believe me, their people are certainly calling the Cleveland police, complaining that we're not being arrested for harassment or whatever other stupid thing. So the more they need to hear it from both sides, they need to hear it from our people.
Right.
But
it's a very good idea.
We were able to give out some gospel tracts to some passersby. Some of our little tract coins that we give out, there were some children who walked by that we gave some of our chick booklets to, that tell them, you know, more in depth about their need of a savior and that there's a God that loves them and everything. So we weren't just reproving evil; we were able to actually give the gospel to people. We were able to bear witness to the truth, to warn these people that, you know, there's a God you're going to have to answer to, and you are shaking your fist at his face at the moment, and it's not going to go well for you on the day of judgment. One of the things we tell people is, you know, we quote the Bible verse, and I can't remember it for the moment, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You can bow now in submission to him, in repentance of your sin, and be received as his beloved child. Or you can bow later, begging in vain for his mercy on the day of judgment. And that's what we're out there warning people for.
Right. Well, and, you know, It's not an easy thing to do because, as you said, the people that you're, when you show up there, they're not welcoming to you and they make complaints to the police about you. And it is a challenge. And that's only what we see on the surface. You know, Paul said in Ephesians that we're involved in a spiritual battle, a spiritual warfare that's going on behind the scenes against spiritual wickedness in high places. And it is a battle, isn't it, to deal with these things?
Oh yes, you know, most of our people, I mean, they're, some of it might just be coincidence, but many of our people have had surprise sicknesses, surprise car breakdowns, a bunch of other random unpleasant stuff happens to us in the week before and sometimes the week afterwards around these things. I mean, we sing that song, Satan and His Host Defy and Shout with Daniel's Band. Well, we are, when we decide, knowing that we're, that Satan and his demons are seething at the fact that we, even though we know that there might be some retribution against us for it, we mm-hmm. still go up there and can defy them to their faces, and warn them that there's a God they're defying and that there's a gospel that, that they need to hear instead of just mocking it. We have a man claimed to be a Christian and was quoting the Bible from us, and I forget what passage it was. It was from Matthew. It was either 18 or 23, where Christ was rebuking the Pharisees, saying that we shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, and we're not even going in ourselves. And he just kept repeating over and over, well, you're pushing people away. You're pushing people away. And actually, towards the end, he told us that what we were doing up there, warning men of their judgment, boldly and bluntly, like John the Baptist and so many of our God-fearing forebears have done, he said that what we were doing, preaching the gospel, telling people that they're leading people, children to hell, he said that was just as bad as the people hosting the Drag Queen Story Hour, which they openly admit exists to brainwash children into believing that that is a healthy lifestyle. He said what we were doing was just as bad as that.
Well, the Bible says there'd be a day when they would call evil good and good evil.
No, I mean, he had a Bible in his hand, and he was trying to preach at us, and he said, you know, he said, oh, there's not much preaching going on except, you know, I'm preaching to you guys, but you're not preaching the truth. You're because, you know, we're not being loving. He said, well, what about love? What about love? You know, this is all hate. And I said, well, you know, the Bible talks about hating evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. David commands us, you know, ye that fear the Lord, hate evil. But we're not out there just out of hatred for the wicked and the wicked things they do. We're out there to try to warn them. If we hated them, we would sit at home and, ha-ha, they're going to hell. We are willing to risk physical and legal hazards to warn these people that there is an eternity in hell to avoid. They are one missed heartbeat from an eternity in a literal burning hell, and we're trying to shake them out of their complacency and to realize, no, this life is not just to play a bunch of games and chase pleasure. This is there's a God to answer to, and this is real. If we hated them, why would we bother going out there? You know,
well, that's a very good point because, I mean, it would be easier just to let them die and go out into a Christless eternity without any warning. In fact, you know, when the Bible says, for God so loved the world in John 3:16, it then goes on to say, for God so loved the world that he did what? That he gave his only begotten son. And so Jesus came into the world not because God hates us, but because he loves us and wants us to have a way to be with him. He made a way possible because otherwise we would not be able to be in heaven. We would not be able to spend eternity with the Lord because of our sinful condition. So,
yeah, exactly. You know, we tell people, we were quoting over and over again, and I didn't write the verse down, and I don't want to search through my phone when I'm on the phone here to look for it. That verse in Ezekiel that says, as I live, saith the Lord, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked.
Right.
Why will ye not turn yourselves and live? The Bible says that God and the holy angels rejoice over one sinner that repents. And we're trying to tell them, look, we're not here. We are not Westboro Baptist, which stands there and with the signs that say, fags die, God laughs. We would never hold signs that say that, because first of all, that flatly contradicts the scripture.
Right.
The Bible says God takes no pleasure in the death of the wicked, and neither do we. We would rejoice if we were to find out that our witness was what prompted someone to finally turn from that lifestyle, and many do. The 1 Corinthians 6 talks about, you know, such were some of you. Paul lists a whole bunch of things, homosexuality included, and says such were some of you. We would rejoice to hear that someone, you know, due in whole or part to our witness, had turned from that lifestyle. We would rejoice. We are not there mocking them, you know. We're saying that, you know, God rejoices in their death. That is not our mission. So I know there are many people who try to put us in the same boat as them. That is not us. We are just trying to confront evil, trying to let men know that, you know, yes, we are trying to hinder the evil. We are trying to as much as we lawfully can, shame and rebuke this horrific wickedness that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But we are also trying to warn them. Not only are we trying to hinder them as much as we lawfully can and reprove them, but we're trying to warn them that there is a God you're going to give account to.
Absolutely.
And I would like to thank you, Pastor, for your time. You know, I can go talk. If you have any other questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Thank you for, to all those who have prayed for us. Thank you for those who came out. Lord willing, it won't be the last time we'll do it. You know, please continue to pray that there are no legal or you know, financial or social consequences for any of us. Obviously, I'm sure they're working hard to try to identify us, because that's what the enemy does, and they try to get our people fired and stuff. You know, that might happen eventually, and you know, all of our people are well aware that's a risk we're willing to take. But just pray that it doesn't happen. Pray that we're continue to you know, be protected, and pray that God directs us how, you know, what to put on our signs, when to go, when not to go, and how to go about it. Other than that, you know, Pastor, I just wanted to, you know, thank you for the time. Thank you, your listeners, for praying for us, and let them know how it went.
All right. Well, and I appreciate the stand that you and the others are taking, because, you know, and it's good to let people know in advance so they can pray, obviously. But I also think, and this is why I'm glad you called in tonight, I think it's also, if we ask people to pray in advance, it's good to let people know what happened as a result of their prayer, what you were able to accomplish. And so again, I will ask that people keep praying for you, and God knows who everybody is that's involved, and we certainly pray for God's protection and watch care over you, and would that you did not have to do this again. That would be great, but the world being what it is right now, while we live in perilous times, and Paul told Timothy, evil men and seducers who act worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And you're seeing it right there on the front lines. There is that individual deceived, willingly wittingly or unwittingly, he's deceived and trying to deceive others, complete with a Bible in hand. But of course, you know, Bible warns us that Satan has his ministers as well, disguised as angels of light. And so we need to be on guard. So thank you, John Brown, for what you're doing and for calling in and giving us an update.
All right, thank you, Pastor. You know, there might come a day when it becomes too dangerous, or where we just simply can't do this, where we're trying to just work while the night is coming. Thank you for your time, Pastor.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. God bless. And you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Just heard an update on the Drag Queen Story Hour protest, people standing for the gospel, standing for Christ, standing for what's right, there on the near west side of Cleveland here yesterday afternoon. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. And it looks like we have got, let's see here, Nancy has been waiting the longest. Nancy, welcome to our program tonight.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Al, for taking my call.
Good evening.
Good evening to you.
Yes, good evening.
My call tonight is regarding the extreme weather that that we've been having here in Northeast Ohio, well, all over the country, but I'm thinking more of the extreme weather. Is this a judgment from the Lord because of perhaps how we voted down issue one? And I did find Jeremiah 23:19, behold, the storm of the Lord is gone forth in fury, even a grievous whirlwind. It will fall grievously upon the head of the wicked. And then Matthew 7:24, this is part of the verse. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and slammed against the house. And I did find other verses. But would you say that the really serious storm that we just had 2 or 3 days ago, do you think that is God's judgment? I would like you to comment on that. Thank you.
Yeah, and that's it does seem like we've had some, you know, overly bad weather, I guess. Is that a way of putting it? Maybe that's not the best way to phrase it, overly bad. But we have had a lot of bad weather lately, and this summer's been an odd summer in many respects. But, you know, weather is really kind of an interesting thing, and there's a lot of changes taking place all the time. And let me just direct you to two websites. There are listeners to two websites that might help make sense of some of the things that's happening with our weather. One is climatedepot.com. That's climatedepot.com. And the other one is Real Climate, let's see if I can get it here, realclimatescience.com, realclimatescience.com. And both of these sites have a lot of good information that puts some of the weather and things that are happening in perspective, because sometimes the way that it's presented is skewed to fit whoever's presenting its ideas and thoughts. But having said all of that, in the passages that you talked about, we do know that sometimes God does allow things like this to happen. Let me give you, for instance, in, you know, the Bible several times, I think at least 5 times in the Old Testament, God promises to bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. And and the Jewish people in particular and the nation. And when President George H.W. Bush became the very first president in history to call for, U.S. president, I should say, to call for a division of the land there in Israel, we saw a storm system. It had been a pretty powerful storm that had been here by the United States and then turned and went out into the Atlantic, and it was weakening and it was dissipating to a degree. But when President George H.W. Bush, Bush Sr., as we refer to him oftentimes, was, I think he was over in Paris at the time that he made this announcement that that the United States was going to push for a two-state solution. We had this thing that that many of the meteorologists said we've never seen anything like this. The storm reversed course and came backwards, contrary to the normal weather patterns. It came backwards, and it slammed, it gained strength, and it slammed directly dead center into President Bush's compound in Kennebunkport, Maine, or Maine or Massachusetts, I believe it was Kennebunkport, and just absolutely devastated his compound there. And there was even a picture of him standing there, you know, surveying the damage. And part of this here, we see that, you know, God takes a dim view of those that attempt to divide the land. I'll come to a verse here, I think, in a little bit. I'm just not seeing it right at the moment. Hopefully I'll get to it here in a minute. But there's a passage that ties in with. And but my point is, It's not coincidence that this storm uh-huh. did that. His son uh-huh. later on, his son then made a statement about causing Israel to push out the Jewish settlers in the area of the Gaza Strip and turn that uh-huh. over to the Muslims, to the Arab control, actually Muslim uh-huh. control of Hamas there, and so. The interesting thing that happened with that is that as they were forcibly evicting the last Jewish settler from the area, meteorologists were talking about low pressure system in the Atlantic that they said, mm-hmm. well, we don't expect this to turn into much, but if it does, we'll call it Katrina. Some of our listeners are familiar with a book called As America Has Done to Israel by John McTernan, and he's been on this station on some other programs in the past and all. And he has pointed out a number of things where, as people have done something to Israel, and particularly with America, when mm-hmm. we did things detrimental toward them, we had these storms and things that hit us, and when we were in situations where we were helping Israel and being a blessing to them, we saw God's hand of blessing on our nation. Again, it was a fulfillment of the idea that God would bless those that bless Israel and curse those that curse Israel. So that's just in one area. We also see when a nation is obedient to God and follows after God and is doing things that further God's work, further the cause of Christ, God has his hand of blessing on those nations. And mm-hmm. when they go contrary to that, God removes his hand of blessing. And like I said, we can see it with the treatment of Israel. We can see it with things dealing with morality, because interestingly enough, when Katrina came in and impacted the Gulf Coast, one of the areas that it hit, and when it hit, was right during the southern, the very decadent Southern Pride Festival. I can't remember the exact name of the festival, but it basically Akron just had their Pride Festival. It was like a big regional Pride Festival in the South, mm-hmm. and of course that caused problems. The verse I was looking for earlier, here's Joel chapter 3. Where it says in verses 1 and 2, "For behold, in those days and in that time, when I shall bring again the captivity of Judah and Jerusalem, I will also gather all nations and will bring them down in the valley of Jehoshaphat. I will plead with them there for my people, for my heritage Israel, whom they have scattered among the nations and parted my land. And the judgment was coming on them for scattering the people and parting the land." And of course, both George H.W. Bush and George W. Bush, both presidents, both experienced that for pushing mm-hmm. Israel to divide the land. There's never mm-hmm. a good benefit or a good result of that. The British Empire, they used to say the sun never sets on the British Empire. And they were going to set aside by international decree under the Balfour Declaration a large area of land, which would be modern-day Israel today, as well as Jordan. And it was going to be the Jewish homeland. And then, bowing to Arab interest, they separated off of nearly three-quarters of that. And guess what happened? The British Empire began to shrink pretty quickly after that. Hey, Nancy, can you hold for a few minutes? We've got a break coming up, and we can continue this topic on the other side of the break. So stay tuned. We got an hour and a half to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield, midway between Akron and Cleveland, just off both Interstate 77 and Interstate 271. The Bible Baptist Church meets each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, "Whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing to Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio, 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. We'll be with you until midnight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can call us tonight at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And if you go there, you can find a number of things that we have there and the articles that I've written that are available at livewithpastoral.com. There's some other things there. I'm hoping to post the two new word searches that my daughter and I put together here just recently. And we've got several on there. We'd done some a couple of years ago and kind of gotten away from it. So we're going to try and get some more going there. And so we'll have some of those coming up here shortly. But check us out, livewithpastoral.com. You can also find out more about our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. And of course, you can link to our church webpage from livewithpastoral.com, and that's the church that I pastor. I'm an actual pastor, as I say. Don't just play one on the radio. I actually have a church. We're not a big church, but we sing the song every once in a while, "Little is Much When God Is In It," and certainly it is. We take what little we have, we put it in the Lord's hands, and he can use us, and he can use you. And you can find our church at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200. I say Suite 200 because we meet in a commercial strip. We don't even have a building of our own. If you're looking for a building with a steeple, you won't find us. Look for our door in the commercial strip at 4174 Wheatley Road. We're in Suite 200. That's in Richfield, Ohio, corner of Wheatley and Brecksville Roads. And that's right near where 271 and 77 come together too as well. So give you an idea, midway between Akron and Cleveland, easy to get to from just about anywhere. So also, Check us out there online. And then if you are interested in pizza and get a little hungry there one of these nights, a little late now, but during the week, contact one of our sponsors, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights. You can find East Coast Pizza at 4889 Turney Road. That's 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can give them a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. That's East Coast Pizza. Tell them that you heard about them here on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. East Coast Pizza, 4889 Turney Road, across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. Call them at 216-341-9100. Well, we're going to get back to our callers here tonight. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. And sometimes people say, well, how come certain people get on all the time? Well, it's very simple. They call. And if you call, we can get you on probably too. And last week, celebrating our 17th anniversary of being on the air, it was kind of fun. We had in our second hour, we had a lady from Sarasota, Florida called, and she said that she started listening because she got off work and she was driving home from work, and she was, I guess, found the program. And you know, you can call, and we'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-677-9673. And we were talking with Nancy prior to the break in regards to God sending storms, or maybe another way to look at it is God allowing storms. And I'll come back and explain that in just a moment. But we think of storms happening and some of the wild weather that we've had here in the area. And can it be judgment that comes from God? And I think we were talking about some cases in particular with our treatment of Israel and the Jewish people, how God sometimes allows things to happen, and we've seen historically storms and things of that nature. But I do think it happens sometimes in relation to some of the other moral stance or lack thereof that a nation takes, that God allows oftentimes some bad weather and things in a sense, maybe to get our attention. Maybe sometimes it's a punitive thing because of things that we have done. And certainly when we think about the issue of abortion, I just don't see how God can bless a country or a nation that allows the wholesale wanton slaughter of unborn children. And so there's other things that are going on. I was going to say there's a passage. We got Nancy here with us, so I've kind of gone through everything. But Nancy, are you still with us there?
Yes, Pastor Al.
Right.
He was talking about George Bush Sr. and Jr., you know, dividing the land of Israel and God judging them. But doesn't President Biden do the same thing about dividing Israel's land, or his handlers?
Well, and yeah, his handlers, I think, is a better way. I think he's more concerned with trying to divide his pudding cup or something, but that's a whole other area. But yeah, it's the nation, it's the direction of the nation, it's the direction that the leadership of the nation goes, whether it's one man or some kind of oligarchy or something, which is what I suspect is closer to the point. An oligarchy basically being a group of people who oftentimes rule from behind a puppet leader, and we certainly see that happening today. And there is judgment, and over in Malachi, you know, the Bible talks about God rebuking the devourer that kind of eats away at our harvest and eats away at our productivity and all of that. And it's kind of interesting thing when you think about it, that a lot of times what it is, and a statement I made before, it's not so much sometimes that God sends the storm in a sense of causing it. It's that he refrains from preventing it. And what I mean by that, and thinking of that term about in Malachi rebuking the devourer, I should find that verse since I'm mentioning it, but rebuking the devourer means that sometimes he doesn't rebuke the devourer. And maybe a way to understand it is anybody that's got a garden this time of year, you can tell who's kept up with their weeding pretty easily. If you go by my garden, you'll find out that I did not keep up with my weeding this summer. I was doing pretty good until early July, and I somehow injured my neck, shoulder, whatever, and really couldn't pull weeds. And so they kind of got away. And now when I go out into my garden, it's like I'm going through a forest of weeds trying to find anything that's growing. I really feel bad. But you can tell right now who's not been keeping up with it. And so the weeds are always there. You know, you have to work to keep them back. And when you stop working to keep them back, they just grow, because they're always there waiting. And over in Malachi chapter 3, where God's is saying this, he says in verse 11, "And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts." Rebuking the devourer means that there's this devourer. It's a, and it's kind of a personification of all the things that conspire against us. You know, the Bible tells us God put a curse on the land, you know, not just on us, but on the land, where it would produce weeds, thorns, and thistles, and all of that. And plus, people are familiar with the concept in physics of entropy, where things go from order to disorder. You have to work to keep things organized. Anybody's got a sock drawer. Anybody's got a drawer of silverware, you know, a cupboard. You have to work to keep it organized, don't you? Because left you know, left to just to happen, everything gets disorganized pretty quick. So you have to work to keep things ordered. And entropy's always there. The devourer's always there waiting. And God sometimes says, you know what? I'm not going to intervene. I'm just going to let it happen. Sometimes, because if we're doing what he asks us to do, and in Malachi, the Jewish people were being rebuked because they were robbing God of tithes and offerings. And so he said if they do give, that he would bless them abundantly. And one of the things that he would do in the blessings is rebuke the devourer, so that he would keep it at bay. And so I think that sometimes what happens is we have some of these storms and things that God may have rebuked in the sense of held back, protected us from, but when we're not serving him, when we're going contrary to his word, then God is under no obligation to protect us from these storms and things. He just lets them go. He doesn't, in effect, rebuke the devourer for our sakes. He just lets it go. That's one aspect. Here's another aspect, and again, another caller we'll have to get to, too. In Psalm 18 is a very interesting psalm, and there's another passage, I think it's in 1st or 2nd Samuel, I think it's in 2nd Samuel, that kind of says much the same thing that we see here in Psalm 18. In Psalm 18, David, I believe, is the one writing here. He says, starting in verse 1, "I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God and my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies." So he's trusting God to deliver him from his enemies. And then he goes on to talk about what's happening. He says in verse 4, "The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me." And so now we get down to verse 6. He cries out to the Lord. He says, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came from came before him, even into his ears." Now, you had asked about God sending storms. Listen to the rest of this now, starting in verse 7. He says this, "Then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of the hills moved and were shaken because he was wroth, meaning God was angry. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and a fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. And he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and yea, he did fly upon the wings of the wind. He made darkness his secret place, his pavilion round about him were dark waters and thick clouds of the sky. Sounds like a tremendous rainstorm, doesn't it? At the brightness that was before him, his thick clouds passed, hailstones and coals of fire. Sounds like a pretty severe thunderstorm here. Verse 13, the Lord also thundered in the heavens, and the highest gave his voice, hailstones and coals of fire. Yea, he sent his arrows and scattered them. He shot out lightnings and discomfited them. And the channels of waters were seen, and the foundations of the world were discovered at thy rebuke, O Lord, at the blast of the breath of thy nostrils. And David goes on to talk about being delivered, but this sounds an awful lot like God sending a storm, doesn't it?
Wow, this is the most dramatic Bible reference that I've ever seen. But listen, I really appreciate you telling us about climatedepot.com. And realclimatescience.com. I'm going to look those up.
Oh, yeah, there's some tremendous information there. And some of it addressing the weather that we've seen this past summer. And it's interesting because overall, on average, our weather hasn't, you know, our temperatures have, you know, we were talking about the big heat dome out west and everything. But overall, our temperatures really have not been that much of a deviation from normal. And so we always have a lot of storms. We always have a lot of hot weather in the summer and cold weather, you know, blizzards and cold weather in the winter. And, you know, there are times back in the 30s that rivaled what we've been going through now. But oftentimes some of these things do happen in response to how we treat God's, you know, as the Bible says, God says how we treat Israel, and also how we act, or you know, in regards to the moral issues of the day. And I certainly can see where when we do not protect the most vulnerable amongst us, the unborn children, you can see where God's not going to be in the business of rebuking the devourer. He's going to let things happen. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for explaining this to me. I took a lot of notes, and you have a blessed evening.
Well, thank you. God bless, Nancy, and I appreciate you calling us tonight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and our number is 888-677-9673. We've got Terry calling in tonight. Terry, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor Al.
Hi, good evening, and thank you for joining us on our contest last week. And I probably haven't got the book yet, but it's in the mail.
And that question came to me. That answer came to me right away as soon as you asked.
Amen. And for our listeners, if you weren't listening last week, the question had to do with does the Bible actually say that we, the believers here of this dispensation of grace, where are we going to spend eternity? And everybody says, well, we're going to spend eternity in heaven, aren't we? And we looked at it. Revelation chapter 20 says specifically, or chapter 21 says specifically, that we'll spend eternity in the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven to the new earth. So kind of a trick question in a sense, but was it you or
17th year?
Yeah, thank you. I was going to say, was it you or somebody else that did make the point? Well, the Bible says we'll spend eternity with the Lord, and that is true, because the Bible says that the Lamb of God will be in the New Jerusalem. So
I was thinking about that today. You know, about eternity.
Yes.
You know, people are either live eternity and separated from God in the fire.
Right.
Or they'll live eternally with Christ, which is, you know, a billion years is nothing. A trillion years is nothing.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to illustrate this to somebody one time, and it's, you know, when you're in school, you know, in grade school, high school, and all that, you know, you haven't even, you know, lived that long, and, you know, because you're growing and everybody's growing. You know, when you're, let's just say, a senior in high school, the idea of hanging around and having close friends that are 5, 6, 10 years younger than you is like almost like a foreign concept, because those are little kids, right? And you're a senior in high school. I'm not hanging out with the little kids. I'm hanging out with the seniors and all. But you get out of high school, 10, 20 years down the road, 30 years down the road, I hate to say it, 40-some years down the road, the further down the road you get, you know, as you get older, having friends that are 5, 6, 10, 20 years or more younger than you isn't any big deal, is it?
No.
Because we're all adults, and it begins to pale. Oh, go ahead.
I said to myself three years ago that, you know, I'm 60 years old. I'm 63 now, but 3 or 4 years ago anyway.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought came to me, what am I going to do for the rest of my life? I might only have 10, 20, 30 years left.
Yeah, that is an interesting perspective that you just mentioned there, because we think of our physical life here on Earth, and when you reach that point, you begin to say, just like you said, it's different. You know, when you were 20 years old, you're thinking, man, I got my whole life before me. What am I going to do? But once you start getting into your 60s, you begin to think, you know, I might only have 20 years left.
Right.
How am I going to spend it?
I repent. I decided I got to get more serious with the Lord when I thought about that. I did.
Yeah, it really is a different perspective on life when you reach a certain point. And I'm the same age as you, so I remember talking with somebody one time when we were in our 40s. I think we were upper 40s, and he was like, well, we're old now. I said, well, you speak for yourself. I don't feel old. You know, I figure, you know, I'm somewhere solidly in the middle of my life, barring some weird situation or catastrophic event. I had to live another 40, you know, 50 years without any problem. And so I don't feel old. Well, now, almost 20 years later, 15 years later, I find myself thinking, well, barring no unforeseen catastrophic events or whatever, I can't honestly say I expect to live another 40, 50 years, you know, in this body. Now, when we are with the Lord in eternity, 40, 50 years is nothing. 40, 50 million years, it's nothing.
1,000 years of God is like a day.
Yeah, and a day is like 1,000 years, which means time's irrelevant.
Right.
It's completely irrelevant. And the older we get, the more you can see a year of your life is relatively insignificant. For instance, I'll give you an example. You're at 10 years old, 1 year of your life is 1/10 of your life. If you live to be 100, it's only 1/100 of your life. It's not as significant, is it? So,
no.
But yes, okay. So yeah, we do need to keep things in perspective and think, what am I going to do with the rest of the time that I have here? And knowing, of course, that the Lord can come back for us at any time. So,
and we need to be ready.
Yeah. So I know we're coming up on the end of this segment here, and I've got another caller if she's able to hold on, because I think we're not going to be able to get to her before to do her justice. But we kind of danced around here before we got fully to your question there. But what else did you have on that? I was going to say.
Well, actually, I was going to talk about Peter, about 2 Peter.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Lord, my question is where did the Lord go when he died? And to my understanding is that he went to the people that were in prison.
Yes, that's what the Bible says. And actually, prior to the cross, we have a situation where hell, the abode of the dead. In Greek, it was Hades. In the Hebrew, it was Sheol. It was the abode of the dead. It was divided into two compartments. Prior to the cross, the dead who died rejecting God went into the place of torment, and those that died in the right relationship with God, they went into a place called Abraham's bosom or paradise. And it wasn't heaven. It was a temporary place where they went until the time that they would be allowed into heaven. And I think we've got just a couple minutes going here, but you can see that in Luke chapter 16, where Jesus gave a story, an account, not a parable. Some people try to say it's a parable, and there's good reasons to reject that thought that it's a parable, but that it's an actual story in Luke chapter 16, where he says, starting in verse 19, there was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried in by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. So he can see across what later is pointed out to be a great gulf. He's in one section, which is torment, where he's tormented in the flame, and he sees Lazarus, who's comforted over with Abraham. And so these are the two divisions. And we can develop this a little bit more probably after the break here, but it's very clear that hell and the lake of fire are two different places, because in Revelation chapter number 20, the Bible says that in verse 14, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. So if hell and the lake of fire were identical, how do you cast something into itself? You know, I can throw my coffee cup into the sink, but I can't throw it into itself. You see what I'm saying?
Yep, it was swallowed up.
Right. So it's got hell, to go into something larger. Yeah, hell is swallowed up into the lake of fire. But we're going to take a break here. And Terry, if you can hold on, and I believe we have Phyllis waiting for us as well, and if you can hold on after the break here, we've got another hour to go, so we got plenty of time, so stay tuned. Drag queen story hours in our schools and churches, gender dysphoric men dominating women's sports, violence and anarchy taking over our streets, all encouraged and promoted by politicians, school boards, teachers' unions, even churches. America is spiraling into an abyss of spiritual darkness and moral insanity. Now more than ever, God's people need to shine forth as beacons of truth in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. But what if they won't heed the light? Well, as President Reagan used to say, when you can't make them see the light, make them feel the heat. Unfortunately, many churches have abandoned the Word of God for the philosophies of men, and their light has gone out. The fire has gone out in their pulpits, and they've become lukewarm, neither cold nor hot. They need to repent and turn back to God. This is Pastor Al Davis of the Richfield Bible Baptist Church, host of Live with Pastor Al on 1220 The Word. Don't hide your light. Light a fire. Stand up. Speak out. Vote and make them feel the heat.
I'm Pastor Alan Jackson. Did you know that more than 80 million Americans daily depend on AM radio for conversation, news, weather reports, and emergency information? A new bill in Congress would ensure AM radio remains in cars, because when cell and internet services are down, this free service could be your only access to vital communication. Visit dependonam.com to learn how to make your voice heard and keep AM radio in vehicles for the next generation.
Dr. Charles Stanley.
Peace with God means we lay down the tools of warfare. Indifference, unbelief, willful, sinful, walking in darkness, doing the will of the devil rather than the will of God. That's all over. Now you begin a whole new life.
The teaching of Dr. Charles Stanley on In Touch, helping you grow in Christ every day.
Weekday mornings at 8:30 a.m. on The Word Cleveland and Odyssey.com.
WHKW W245CY Cleveland, encouraging you to head back to church this Sunday, a service of Salem Media Group.